We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
I am calling attention to an unusual passage of Scripture in 2 Thessalonians 2:10-12. Paul said, "And with all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." This is one of the most solemn and serious passages by way of warning to be found in the entire Bible. Paul is here speaking of people who did not love the truth. And so he said, "With all deceit of unrighteousness for them that perish," and tells why, "because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved." Now, friends, it is a serious matter not to love the truth. "And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error." The American Standard says, the King James says, "a strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." Now, God will not send a strong delusion or a working of error in a direct fashion, but he will allow one who does not love the truth to be worked upon by error and to actually come to believe it. "And for this cause God sendeth them a working of error, that they should believe a lie." Now note, "that they all might be judged." The American Standard says, and the King James says, "that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Now there is something connected with believing a falsehood, and it is not salvation, but it is damnation. "That they all might be judged or condemned or damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." The Bible says in Romans 15:4, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Now there is an example set forth in great detail in the Old Testament of a sincere person who believed a lie, religiously speaking, and who lost his life as a result of it. This man was an unusually fine young man, and yet he was deceived. I call attention to the fact that Jeroboam in the northern kingdom set up idolatry, and Jeroboam ordained a feast in the 8th month on the 15th day of the month, likened to the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. Now you see, God did not authorize this. And which he had devised of his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burned incense. Now earlier in 1 Kings 12:27, it is said, in fact in verse 25, "Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and dwelt therein, and went out from thence, and built Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even unto Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me, and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." In other words, he knew that when people worship according to the will of God, in the way that God has prescribed, that this would bring about a unanimity and a unity that would cause them to look upon him as he was indeed an idolater. And he said, "They shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." Verse 28 says, "Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Friends, this idea that it is inconvenient for you to serve God is still abroad in the land today. There are many people who, when told that it's too much for them to be as strict as the Bible, when they're told that it is not necessary for them to do the will of the Lord, and when there are those who tell them, "You do not have to be a member of the church that the Lord built, that's asking too much of you." There are many people who are deceived into believing that kind of a falsehood or that kind of a lie. So the Bible says, whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold. And you remember that when Moses was in Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments, that the children of Israel made a calf of gold. And when Moses came and saw their idolatry, he broke into pieces the two tables of stone that he had, and he ground the calf into water, into ashes, and made them drink the water. And many children of Israel lost their lives because of the punishment visited upon them by God because of their idolatrous ways. So the king of Jeroboam of the northern kingdom, there had been a division in Israel. Rehoboam was reigning in the southern kingdom, the son of Solomon. So whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he set the one in Bethel, that is one of those calves of gold, and the other put he in Dan. And this thing, verse 30 says, became a sin. For the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. Verse 31, and he made an house of high priests, and made priests of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And then I've already called attention to the fact that he ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month. But notice, it was on the same day, and it was an imitation of the real thing that God had commanded to be done in Jerusalem and in Judah. It was on the fifth, in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, likened to the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priests of the high places which he had made. And then the final verse of the chapter, just before we begin to study in detail, the case of a man who cried out against that idolatry and the worship of those calves, and yet he himself came to believe a lie and lost his life as a result. Verse 33 says of Jeroboam, so he offered upon the altar, which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the 8th month, even in the month which he had devised of his own heart. Well, that was the very time the faithful children of God were offering, that is, on the 15th day of the 8th month, in the city of Jerusalem. And here in Bethel, Jeroboam was in idolatrous worship with the people he had led astray. But he had devised this of his own heart, the Bible says, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and the burnt incense. But now God was observing what he had done, and so I call attention to a marvelous story along this line in 1 Kings chapter 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. So God sent him. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried, that is, this man of God that came out of Judah, and he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Now it took a great deal of courage, didn't it, for this man, this young man, this prophet of God, this man of God who came out of Judah, at the very time that Jeroboam stood to the altar to burn incense, to cry out against the altar, and he did this in or by the authority of the word of the Lord, and he said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord. Don't you know that he got the attention of the people? Aren't you sure that they listened very intently for a man to do a thing, to a man who would do a thing of that kind? But he said, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. Now, how came this prophet of God to know that a child would be born to the house of David, and that even his name would be Josiah? Well, friends, this man was a prophet. This man did, as Peter said in 2 Peter 1:21, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. But he went on to say what Josiah would do to the priests who were offering upon the idolatrous altar to the golden calves. He said, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burns incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And by the way, that did come to pass later. Those false priests, after their death, in the days of Josiah, were dug up from their graves, and their bones were burned. That literally was fulfilled. When God says a thing, you can rest assured that it will be fulfilled. But then the next verse says, "And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him." Now you remember in the last verse of the previous chapter, it is said of Jeroboam, "And he offered upon the altar burnt incense." Now while he was in the very process of doing that, this unnamed, no doubt he had a name, but we do not know his name, of the man of God that came out of Judah, cried out against the altar. Well, Jeroboam said, lay hold on him. And he stretched forth his hand and said that. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. By the way, friends, there are those today who claim to work miracles. They cannot cause an altar to split asunder. They cannot make a man's hand stiffen when he stretches it forth to the point that he cannot draw it back to his body again. But this was done on this occasion. His hand which he put forth against him dried up, the Bible says, so that he could not pull it again to him. The altar also, verse 5 says, was rent. That is, it was split or rent asunder. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. Now today we all have all kinds of fake healers. For example, a few years ago, and it hasn't been many years ago, there was a man in Arkansas who claimed that he was going to raise his mother. Well, obviously he could not raise her because the days of miracles are over. But finally he put her more or less in a deep freeze and then tried it more than one time, but he couldn't raise her. Now, friends, those who thus claim to do could not heal a pin scratch, because the Bible teaches that today they that are sick have need of a physician. And the Bible also teaches that the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much in his working, James 5:16. God uses natural laws in order to heal people today. He uses doctors and nurses and technicians and prayer, but he does not work miracles. He does not raise people from the dead today. He does not put a one-legged man's leg on again. And nobody can smite another with a curse, as was done in this case with Jeroboam's hand stiffening and dried up, as the Bible said, so that he could not pull it again to him. But now note this, the altar also was rent, and that's what the young man had said would happen. The ashes also, the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. But in verse 6, "And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again." Well, you see, he didn't have the haughty attitude that he'd had prior to this. He now is begging the man of God to pray for him. He realizes that all of this is from God. "And the king answered and said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored. May be restored me again. Well, the man of God was willing to do that. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and became as it was before. Now, friends, here is a miracle. Here is something done supernaturally. And that's what a miracle is. Now, in the first century, the apostles worked miracles, and certain other people worked miracles upon whom the apostles had laid their hands. For example, in Mark 16:17-18, Christ said to the apostles, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Now, the apostles could do that. For example, I remember that Peter in Acts 9 raised Dorcas from the dead. I remember that in Acts 20, Paul preached until midnight, and since he preached a long time, and they were in an upper story, a brother by the name of Eutychus fell from the window. and it killed him. Paul came down and embraced him and raised him from the dead. Now, nobody can do that today. No one can do that today. I have discussed with people who claim that they could work miracles, and I've suggested, let us go to a cemetery, and if you will raise the first one, I will raise the next 500. But I know I cannot raise any, but I know he is not going to raise the first one. And then they sometimes say, well, I wouldn't try that. But then I've said, all right, if you will not try that, let's go to the cemetery. And you tell the dead to get up, and I will tell them not to get up, and I guarantee you I'll have more power than you will. That doesn't mean I have more power. I just know the dead are not going to get up until Christ tells them to, unto the end of time. In John 5:28-29, Christ said, marvel not at this, for the hour cometh in which all that are in the tomb shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment. So, friends, the days of miracles have ceased. In Hebrews 2:3-4, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Well, in Mark 16:20, after telling them that they that believe would cast out devils, they would speak with new tongues, they would raise the dead. If snakes bit them, it would not hurt them. They would lay hands on the sick, and they would recover. In verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming. The word confirm means to verify, to make sure. Confirming the word with signs following. But Hebrews 2:3-4 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed? So it was confirmed, you see, by them that heard him. God also bare them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. So then the king changes his attitude toward the man. And the king said unto the man of God, come with me, and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou wilt give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. For so was it charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor return again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. And their father said unto them, what way went he? For his son had seen what way the man of God went, which came from Judah. And he said unto his son, saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I am a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But now listen to this, friends. But he lied unto him. He lied unto him. Well, I just do not have time to go into great detail on it. But at the same time, he lied to him, and it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came unto the prophet that brought him back, and he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord, forasmuch as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord, and hast not kept the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers. A little later, after he departed, and when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. This sincere young man believed the old false prophet and the lie he told him. He was not deceived by the king. He wouldn't go in and eat with him. But the Bible said the old prophet lied to him. That can happen to you in religion. You can believe a false religion and lose your soul on the day of judgment. My friends, do not believe a lie, but believe the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth says you must hear the word of the gospel and believe it. Acts 15:7-9, repent of every sin, Luke 13:3, Confess that Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32, and be baptized for the remission of sins, Acts 2:38, and then live the Christian life.